The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised. He would try some torture
shit.
Nothing
hurts.
Terminator wouldn't scream, and he'd be like, oh, this is amazing.
I tell you what, it'd be a better movie to watch Pinhead and Terminator go at it than Dark Fate was. Holy shit.
It would.
Yeah, that was a
trash
call
it Terminator versus the Cenobites, and people would be like, fuck it, take my money. It's amazing. Guess I will see that.
Skynet wept.
Yeah, right. You see the Terminator solve the puzzle box in like 0.4 seconds. Pinhead comes out like, nah. It goes back to the hell.
Or he comes out and gives his speech, and that Terminator just crushes the box, and it's just destroyed forever, and okay. Just like, sad face.
And Penny gets pissed and like turns around, and before he leaves, he's like, I'll be back, and Terminator's like, that's my line.
He's so dumb.
It would be amazing.
It would be amazing because it'd be so dumb.
Solid.
You know, if we got a Freddy versus Jason, I don't see why we can't do a Terminator versus Pinhead.
That's apples and oranges.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm still willing to fight for that argument, yes, just so it happens.
Just so it happens.
No, I would love to see it. Somebody please, Funny or Die, could you make like a quick like 15-minute clip of Terminator versus Pinhead? Yes.
And we're also talking about two properties right now that kind of on their twilight. You know, got a new guy playing Pinhead in the Hellraiser movies that Clive Barker's just completely called out on Twitter, being like, I'm not involved in this horse shit that they're calling the Hellraiser movies. He's not into it anymore. And then we've got Jim Cameron coming back and bringing us a really lackluster Terminator movie.
Yeah. As I felt with most of the last, I don't know, 20 years of Cameron movies, I kind of want my money back.
A little bit.
I just want my life back. That's what I mean. I'll make the money back.
Yeah,
like,
your time,
I'll make that.
I mean, I don't care what people say about Avatar. Like, it wasn't worth my time.
No.
You know, and it was Titanic.
I've seen Ferngully.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a live-action Ferngully.
It is, pretty much.
Without the voice of Robin Williams as the little bat guy.
Oh, Betty. Yeah, Betty was awesome. And Tim Curry was the villain.
Yeah.
He was the...
Axis.
Yeah, the... pollution, basically.
Yeah.
Much better. So much better. And then...
Now I just want to go watch Ferngully.
And then,
I do have it on the DVD.
So. On the DVD.
Yes.
And then what was that before that camera gave us? What, Titanic?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
True Lies was fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
fair.
Is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I love that movie.
Everyone who thought Jamie Lee Curtis was just a set of lungs got to see everything else she was rocking, which was awesome.
Yes. Mm.
God damn, she's fine as hell.
Absolutely.
And that was it was a fun movie. Tom Arnold helped a lot with that, too.
Yeah.
The comedy.
Yeah, that was probably the best role that he's ever done, which is, you know, not a high bar, really.
True Lies.
The other stuff he's done, Roseanne and, the person. Like, he did her for a while. And that's it, I guess, right?
Yeah. I feel like, he was in, like, Freddy's Dead. I was like, yeah, I think it was
and
it.
He was in that show, the movie The Dumbs or something. It was about a family of idiots, which, you know. Talk about not having to really stretch your acting chops much for that one. But,
wow.
Yeah. Coming in hard for Tom Arnold.
No, but we really need to come in hard on James Cameron, because come on, dude, when I heard you were attached to it, that gave me hope for this sequel, because we've been like, the franchise has basically been dying slowly.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, you just kind of like poke it and then give us something. And
yeah, that's
it.
Kind of what it's been. It's everybody just sort of poking at everything, and I just want it to go.
And that's what we're going to be talking about on this episode. I will give fair warning, if anybody has not seen Dark Fate that is worried about spoilers, the remainder of the show, we will be talking spoilers on Dark Fate, though I personally don't think it's that important.
It's really not.
Yeah, so if you were kind of hemming and hawing on whether you want to watch Dark Fate, give a listen to the episode and decide that you don't want to go see it. This episode of Geeks on the Infants talking not just about Dark Fate. We're going to be talking about Terminators 1 and 2, 3, and Salvation and Genesis.
Yeah.
And all the stuff relating to Terminator on this episode of Geeks on the Influence. Welcome. A little Terminator knockoff music there for the intro.
Oh, that's like Genesis.
Right, basically.
Fuck.
first off, our panel for this episode before we get really into Dark Fate. To my right, a diehard fan of the Terminator series, as the loud sighing right now.
Yeah.
That should be just what we put as our review for just, Dark Fate is, I mean, sigh, yeah, Geeks Under the Influence.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
We've got Amanda Nostromo here.
Hi.
And did you check it out opening night or?
No.
I don't think anybody checked it out opening night.
So I kind of wanted to see it. But realistically, I explicitly went and saw it in theaters just so I could talk about it because I was excited because I was like, oh, Terminator and James Cameron and yes. And then it happened. And yeah, so here we are.
And that, that was a movie.
That was a movie.
That was in fact a movie.
That was a thing that I watched.
Yeah, someone spent a lot of money on that.
Someone that is in fact my partner in crime here on the Geeks Under the Influence Network, my right-hand man on my left, bringing... pretty wide open commentary about stuff. You don't pull punches really at all.
No.
You got Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's going on, everybody?
My Terminator 2 T-800 to my Edward Furlong on the show.
Aww.
That's so sweet.
Is that you don't have human emotions, but but you are stronger than me. So that's, I think, how that works.
Yeah, it's not too far off. No, but... this movie suffered. I think I read an article like last week or it was the Monday after it came out. So it would have been like the third, I think. And it was like the movie faces to lose like $100 million.
Oh yeah. It tanked.
That sounds about right.
It tanked hard. This is going to be really hard for them to come back and actually make another one.
It didn't tank that hard. It's got like a plus on Rotten Tomatoes, not from the Rotten Tomatoes side. Well, yes, from the Rotten Tomatoes side, but also from the viewers' reviews.
Really?
It's in the positive. It's above 50%.
Well, but by how much?
Okay, Genesis was like 20.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I'm just saying, like, if you, a bomb Terminator movie is, one that has bombed is like, we're talking 23%, you know, 15%.
And Genesis, I don't think I saw, had a few friends check it out before I had a chance to, and then I also saw the reviews, and everybody was like, it's a tire fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know how this got the ratings it did, but it did. And apparently people like it. I guess they like a aborted Terminator 2.
Look, it's the Kmart of Terminator 2. That's what it is.
Yeah. It's kind of like a nostalgia piece. I think.
It's the Walmart brand of Terminator 2.
It is.
Versus, well, I guess Genesis would make the Dollar Tree version of Terminator 2.
Genesis is the yard sale find. It's like missing an arm. Somebody wrote their name on the bottom of the shoe of the action figure. Like,
poor Terminator. Yeah. Yeah. It's a franchise that wouldn't die.
Yeah. like the Rev 7 or whatever.
Rev 9.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to undersell the Rev 9.
Don't you disrespect my Rev 9.
So, yeah, Dark Fate. Holy crap.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know where to start with this.
Well, we'll start with, I am Mike the Hobbit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot to introduce. You brought up how I don't pull punches, and I immediately went into review mode.
Fair. Absolutely fair. You know, there's a lot of feelings that are going to be expressed.
Yes. But, yes, the man to my right, the founder of the Geeks Under the Influence Network, we got Mike the Hobbit Bickett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched this on Tuesday, Dark Fate, and, yeah, I made time for this movie.
I'm saying, dude, I had to work that shit in. It was not okay with that.
About halfway through, I'm like, I could have been doing something else right now. Yeah. So that's a thing that happened. Also, a thing that happened this past Sunday was our Booze Clues live show at the Dark Room.
Yeah. As I said, Rotten Tomato viewer reviews, 84%.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 71.
That's going to drop a bit, probably.
It shouldn't have never got that high.
No, never.
Are people smoking crack before they go into the fucking movie? Jesus Christ. Sorry. I can't accept that.
That would make it a very different movie.
Yeah, right. Acid too, you know. But it's like 84% from viewers. That's high.
That's high.
Yeah, that is very high.
Like that's really high.
That's actually like, oh, okay. I definitely want to check that out. For an action sci-fi movie, you're not going to get in the upper 90s for that normally.
No, but like, okay, so basically in comparison, I believe the first weekend after the first weekend of Joker, that's where the reviews are at. And that movie was goddamn stellar.
Oh, absolutely.
It was great,
fucking trash can.
Now, ultimately, I kind of want to start with Dark Fate is that this is the return of Linda Hamilton to the franchise. This Arnie's back, playing a T-800, not the T2 T-800. This is an entirely different one that, and this is where I had the most issue with this, is that the model is the same. So it looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he's been living as a human for like 20 years or something.
Yeah.
And so he's the only reason that you have any kind of emotional connection to this version of the T-800 is because it's relying on that by the audience.
Right.
Knowing it from the previous Terminator movies, it didn't earn any of that in this movie. I mean, the fact that it was allowed to talk long enough to Linda Hamilton for her to begrudgingly agree to work with the thing that killed her boy.
Which would never
happen.
I'm sorry.
Would never have happened.
That would never have happened.
It'd be like, I don't care if this is, you know, a bad decision or not, like, logically, but I'm going to murder him.
Yeah.
That's just going to happen.
As I was watching this movie, I'm sitting here. Okay, so now he sells drapes. That's what he does now. So essentially, it's like his mission has ended, and now he's like the butter robot from Rick and Morty. Like, this is just what you do now.
All right.
So he's gone from being a murdering machine to drapes, and he's just going to be a people about it for a while. And I felt so many ways about that.
Why drapes, though? Make him a fucking carpenter or something, where it's like something that suggests that he's using his strength or physical prowess to be able to do the thing. But drapes is just such a weird choice. And I know they were doing it for the laugh that they could use with that, but it's just, it's stupid.
And and it was so heavy handed because it was like, they even had that little conversation. It's like, really, you're going to stop and talk about like the right drapes to make the room for your daughter? And get the fuck off, dude. my original theory was, because during the trailer, you didn't know if it was going to be the T-800, right? Even though you saw it get destroyed, but that, you know, that model. You saw it get destroyed in Terminator, and the one that got sent back again in Terminator 2 got destroyed. So I guess you knew it wasn't the same one. But so it led me to think that they're not going to bring out another T-800, right? I would have much rather it have been that he was connected to a future with Skynet, and that was the person they modeled him off of. But they didn't do that because if he was like, you know, part of Skynet and he was what they used to model the T-800 with, that future changed. So he would still be a free person doing whatever he wanted to do, right?
That was exactly what I was thinking too with the trailers, is that it was, you know, worked with Skynet. They used his kind of look to be the base model for the T-800s kind of deal, that deal. And even in the storyline where he's sending coordinates for Linda Hamilton to go find them and kill them, he's still the guy that, you know, let's say Skynet went to kill him, you know, kill daddy, you know, when it becomes self-aware. So he already has some knowledge of the Skynet version of the future and was able to kind of glean where stuff is happening. And that's why he's sending coordinates, whatever, all that shit. Better movie than what we got.
Yes.
And I just gleaned that from just that one moment in the trailer. And on the brain movie that I made was just clearly better. Also, I do want to talk about that in this movie, they talked about that every couple of months, there was a new Terminator that appeared, that the coordinates were sent so she could kill it. And I'm like, that's a better movie.
Yeah.
Instead of doing the same fucking thing that happened in Terminator 2, where there's one person that's the savior that everybody's got to protect, and then Terminator is a good guy all of a sudden and helps protect. Yeah, it's Terminator 2. Instead of that, you get where there's a bunch of fucking Terminators that come from the future at the same time. And she's teaming up with the original guy that created the T-800 or is the base model. Arnold Schwarzenegger as a person, finally, going to like take them down. Because they're not only focusing on one target, but multiple targets to try to like end things. So it's not just one person anymore. And they're going like a vampire slayer going killing these fucking Terminator models.
That is a better movie.
Yeah, it's totally a better movie. And that's where this franchise needs to go. It literally needs any heart that was ever in the series needs to just be gone. Because it doesn't work with the series anymore. This franchise is done with that. Like you said, teaming up, murking fucking Terminators. I'd be happy with that because that's where this franchise is at now. They're not even rehashing. The only way for them to bring heart into it is to do that. I can't think of another way for them to, like, if they wanted to do, like, an elongated where it's action and then slow and building character development. Like, if it's just, like, meeting people and, like, murking Terminators and, like, they had that one shot at the beginning where, like, okay, they killed John. That's all the motive she needs, and you're done. And you just murk Terminators.
Yeah.
It's great. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, you're just now a vigilante woman that's going around murdering the shit out of Terminators, and fuck, make that an HBO series.
Ooh.
That would be good.
But didn't they try a Sarah Connor on like Sarah ABC Connor or something?
Yeah. Yeah. And it had Lena Headey, who from Game of Thrones was Sarah Connor.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did a time jump in that, and Summer Glau was the Terminator model.
Yeah, she was.
And it was a decent series. It was definitely not considered canon, which, whatever, that's fine. We're used to that, the, like, alternate timeline stuff. That's cool. They jumped from, like, 96 to, like, 2007 or whatever that fucking series was. They're like, I don't know, we're in the present now. Anyway.
Cool. Anyway.
And
Terminators.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Like, Terminators, though.
Move right along, right? But so we see that our protagonist in this is... It's kind of similar to where they took a line from Salvation, where you have like this half human, half Terminator esque thing, but except she's aware that that's what she is. Where Sam, Worthington, he had no idea that he was part Terminator, part human.
Right.
That he had gotten blown up and then got fixed and saved and everything like that. She made the choice, which they show in a flashback, to like augment me or like, right. I want to go through it.
Yeah, she wasn't built by Skynet. She she made that choice.
Because Skynet is dead and now we have Legion.
Ugh.
Legion.
Yeah, which is a stupid fucking name.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's been used in other stuff. It's kind of just a
like
taken name at this point. Well, like Satan?
Yeah. Like the Bible.
Yeah.
A little heavy handed there with saying how, you know, human is, you know, basically the devil.
So that's also, like, you know, the name of a X-Men series.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. So. Yeah.
No, they said that name, and I think I almost audibly heard my eyes roll back in my head the minute that happened. I was like, all right, I'm already afraid of this movie.
Yeah.
Also, they went out of the way to make sure that we knew that it wasn't Skynet, except it's Skynet.
It's like, Skynet.
It's the same fucking thing.
It went live, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they drive that home? Linda Hamilton's another shitty performing line that she did where she was like, God, they never fucking learn. They didn't even know it happened. Like, she said, like, they never learn. Skynet never technically happened because it never went live. Mm-hmm. So what the fuck did they have to learn
they
from?
Didn't learn shit.
Jesus Christ. The continuity. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I also just enjoyed that John Connor actually just essentially was never important.
Yeah,
it could have been anybody. Like, it didn't matter. Like, so all like the it just sort of invalidated the whole point of the first two movies. I think like it at the end of the day, it was just like, oh well, there was that. So
yeah,
didn't matter. Could have been anyone.
Well, what they suggested is that because they had gotten past the date that Judgment Day was supposed to take place, that he was not important anymore.
No,
like
he wasn't.
They fulfilled.
He was relevant.
He fulfilled being alive past 1996, and so because Judgment Day didn't happen, he's no longer the savior. But then. In the future, there's still Legion that happens. And so what he's like, well, it's not called Skynet, so I'm not signing up. Like, why is he not important just because the name fucking changed or the timestamp changed?
No, but exactly. So they stopped them from killing John Connor, which the only reason they went back in time in between the first two was to kill Sarah and then the second one to kill John.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't become the resistance to fight Skynet. Well, so just because they didn't succeed in killing him, the future... I don't see how that altered the future enough to where there wasn't going to be a Skynet or there wouldn't be a worry that because he needed to be alive for him to send people back in the first goddamn place. Am I wrong there? Am I missing something?
Right. And
God that's... damn it. God damn it. Like, not even with Legion. I didn't change the names. Like, Skynet could still happen because, hey, like, Connor still is alive to lead the resistance.
I don't... Ultimately, it's that you're basically suggesting that people, augmented or not, and Terminators, whether they have flesh on their bone, on their skeletons, or another Terminator,
or another Terminator.
They can just willy-nilly all go back in time, but they both send one like it's the fucking gladiatorial games to go fight it out. Like, you send, like, a number of soldiers from the future and a number of Terminators from the future into the past to protect their own, and then... modern day era is in the middle of it, mm-hmm. as they're continuing their war, because like the world has been decimated past the point of them being able to handle their shit there. Right. So they're going back in the past to try to change the future so that one of them can dominate. And there's a fucking massive spectacle of a fucking movie that you've got a better storyline. You've got more characters that are important. You don't have one kid character that's important. Mm-hmm.
I think we've literally dropped, that was the third or the fourth better movie than what we actually got.
This is not a snack my pitch up. We should
But these would have been better, because at least then the movie knows what it is.
Right.
Versus trying to be something that it's not, or trying to be something that it once was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and then it's just sad. It's just fucking sad. And like I said, the new antagonist is like a 2T-1000 mesh with, I don't know what the fuck. Like, okay, so you're T-1000, but you're now black instead of like silver, whatever the fuck.
Which kind of is a nod to Genesis, because there was like the nanobot Terminator mm-hmm. thing in Genesis that was like the black goo thing kind of mm-hmm. a little bit too.
Another pool.
Yeah, so it was kind of referencing that doesn't exist in this universe. So mm-hmm. they just kind of borrowed that, like, I guess we'll take that. Like, if you're not using it, kind of like the Star Wars, like Legends or EU that's no longer canon, but they'll occasionally be like, Admiral Thrawn's cool, we'll take him.
Yeah. And so he can, like, and they show that in the trailer, so you knew it was going to happen, but he can separate his exo skin goop and then also the Terminator, and they both function separately, but also together.
In sync with each other.
I don't.
But that's what made me think about, like, oh, cool. You want to do a movie with multiple Terminators. Don't just have one that turns into two. Ooh, how novel. Have fucking two. have six. Like, do something. Like, do they have to pay for an extra seat on the flight to the past in order, if they, like, they have to just combine them into one people size in order to get them back there? Like, why does this... This doesn't make fucking sense.
Oh, man. And, like, at least they gave, like, a decent, and where were they at in the future where they both were, like, getting sent back in elevated heights? Right? Like, they were both fell from fucking, one fell from a fucking bridge, and the other one fell from the middle of everyone's laundry in the barrio. Like, what the fuck?
In the middle of the sky.
Yeah. Like, never before has it happened, they all, at least all hit the ground. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the elevation levels don't change in the future that much. Like, how much do you have to blow something up for you're, like, this much higher in the same area of town in the future? How does that work?
Just piles of bodies and buildings. I don't know.
Maybe they just went back in time on top of bodies. Fuck it.
Now, am I right that the Terminator did like a superhero landing when he fell, though? Right?
Oh, he did. Totally.
Yeah, straight up. Yeah, I think that's why he fell. The other one was to... No, there's no
the
reason.
The other one, like, crashed through a bridge. Like, just, like, burned bashed her way down.
Yeah. And drew the attention of the couple trying to get it on.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty much it. Yeah, she went, thunk. Like, ooh.
Now, another thing that kind of drew me away from it as well is we are in an era where you don't really have an excuse anymore to have bad CGI. And it's not that CGI was, like, utterly terrible, but it was, like, too clean. Like, when the rebar scraped her arm, it looked almost cartoonish. Wasn't gritty. It didn't look realistic. A lot of the jumps, and with CGI, that's sometimes where you see the worst CGIs, jumping around and, like, fast movement with the Terminators. And is it plural or singular when there's two that become one? I don't know.
It's Legion.
God damn it.
when it's jumping around and then doing its thing, it looks like just bad, like, turn of the 2000s CGI. Mm-hmm. And...
I was going to say Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's like the first fucking Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, 2002 Spider-Man, bullshit jumping around. I'm just looking at him like, you guys can do better than this, man. Come on. At least Genesis CGI was better than this.
Now,
I mean, it was better than that. Yeah, it was better than that. Was. That was trash.
I had to make my brain go back to that for a minute, so I was having a moment. And I found it, though.
Now, ultimately, I think, Lowdown, you said before we started, and I want to kind of touch a little bit on the trash sequels. And save the second half for actually talking about T1 and
the
T2.
Good ones,
yeah. That it, you said this is your favorite of the trash sequels, right?
I mean, yeah. I would put it on. It's definitely better than Genesis and Rise of the Machine. Fucking 3 was ridiculous.
Oh, 3 was so bad.
So bad.
I would say it's on par with my dislike of Salvation, but I probably will like Salvation a little bit above that. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, talking about it, just because. At least Salvation stuck with the fucking storyline.
Yeah.
All they did was add a different character as a protagonist. They kept with the John Connor story. And it was John Connor played by Christian Bale, who, I don't care what movie you put him in, he's going to do fucking good. Yeah. He's fucking Christian Bale.
Mm.
He might not be the favorite of the people working on the set, as we
yeah.
No. About, I've heard he likes to yell and get all angry.
I can see that.
So, but
although to his credit, apparently the dude was just like walking through a shot and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? So
we are filming here, people. Yeah. Filming.
Like, you just cost us 15 grand. Thanks.
And my scene.
Yeah.
but yeah, it is like, it's probably, yeah, I have to retract that. Now that I'm thinking about like Salvation, because like, I've rewatched that a few times. I probably will watch Salvation over this. This is like right above Genesis. For me, this movie was, I didn't enjoy much of it. All it did is make me want to go back and watch T2.
Yeah.
Really, that's all it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, because it is, yeah, it's the Walmart store brand of T2. It's hitting the same notes for the most part. Even in the movie, Linda Hamilton says, oh, so she's the John Connor.
Yeah.
Like, in case you didn't catch that. Like, yeah. It was too subtle for you that she was the John Connor character in this.
Or before that, it was like, you're me. I was you. Like,
I was
heavy.
Her,
oh, Jesus oh, Christ, God, yeah. Man.
It's so heavy-handed with some of that.
Oh.
Which sucks because I like the director. It's Tim Miller who did Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's with Jim Cameron helping write the script and produce. I mean, this seems like it's a no-brainer as far as somebody to do this movie. And the humor, I laughed a couple times for sure.
I did too, yeah.
But overall, it wasn't as funny as it needed to be for me to forgive the other trash in the movie, and it wasn't a good enough plot line for me to forgive the bad CGI and the action. Like, there wasn't anything that stood out enough for me to just dismiss the other bad parts of it.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the director, Tim Miller. Didn't he have something else awesome come out this year too, I believe?
I don't know.
Isn't it the same director as Zombieland?
Did he? Something? No, I think the writers of Deadpool were the ones that directed Zombieland.
Zombieland, yeah.
The writers of Deadpool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
My confusion. I mean, it's just, there wasn't really anything redeeming about this movie, like you said. I mean, I probably could have gotten over the fact that it pulled so heavily from T2 if it had at least been done well, but to just dismiss so much of the stuff that was part of it, like, and just try and carry on like it's something completely different. It at least acknowledge that that's what you're doing in a way that you're not trying to play it off as something brand new.
Yeah.
And this movie actually wasted the fact that he had like an exoskeleton. I mean, they utilize it sometimes so they could be in two places mm-hmm. taking care of shit at once. But I mean, as far as with the effects, because apparently they didn't give a shit about that with the shitty CGI we've already discussed.
Yeah.
Because, all right, with that effect in T2, they made sure to like utilize that shit as like, no, this is like groundbreaking shit. You know, mm-hmm. it was in 92 when that movie came out, right? 91?
91.
Cool. And I mean, he walks through doors, you know, he does more than just make blades. Like he would make hooks and shit. Like,
yeah.
All this dude did was make blades and like transfer himself through rebar onto a fucking hood of a truck.
Yep.
Yep.
Fuck you, man. Really? That's all we're getting from this evolved Terminator? Mm. Eat a dick.
Well, like the big thing for the liquid metal part was that like when he got blowed up, in about 15 to 20 minutes, he'd be able to reform into himself again.
Like T-1000?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, okay. Yeah.
Ooh, seen that before. Oh, done wow. that.
That's great. Legion's less good at making T-1000s, apparently.
Rev-9s.
I'm sorry, Rev-9s.
Rev-9s.
And even they said, like, the whole, like, when I saw that he could change form.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the fucking T-1000, man. Like, what? The only thing different is in the flashbacks, it looks like they stole from Edge of Tomorrow, where those aliens, they have those tentacle things that come out.
Oh, yeah.
Versus, we never see that in the future.
You've never seen those anywhere else.
He just stabs people.
It's just in that one part where they go to like this flashback, like, oh, and now there's tentacle terminators. Nobody's going to mention this anywhere else. They're not important. Why not send back a tentacle terminator? Like,
they're the same ones.
Like, that's right. They're just flailing around, but that never comes up ever again, ever.
What
just
better then? Way? I think you'd break bad at the end, like, and throw some tentacles out, you know? No,
maybe
nothing.
The thought process is like, well, no, they definitely know that they weren't human. And it's like, this dude is like turning into not. Like, sure people aren't like, well, that I guess that's a thing people do. No, it's not.
Not at all. No.
The tenant Terminators come out and they're like, yeah, that's definitely something I should run from.
Tentacle Terminator is actually surprisingly difficult to say.
Tentacle Terminator. How you get ready before going on stage. Tentacle Terminator. Tentacle Terminator. Sally sells Terminators. Tentacle Terminators. to the T2.
Yeah. Terminator.
All right. Oh my God.
We're not even after the break yet.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, they just so wasteful with this. And like we said, the acting was just terrible. It was horrible. Like, I expected more when I saw all these comebacks we're getting from other mm-hmm. sequels that have been fucking rad as shit.
Yeah.
And Linda Hamilton coming back. I'm like, fuck yeah, Sarah Connor. I mean, fucking Sarah Connor.
It reminds me of almost being like a fan of a sports team where they get a lot of really good players and you're like, this is the year. This is the fucking year that they're going to do a thing. And then they're just like, and just shit the bed for that season. You're like, you really, even with these people in tow, you just can't do dick, can you? Cool. Nope. Fire the coach.
see what that does, right? That's what we got. Because, I mean, the acting was, it was trash. Like, dude, I don't know if they were really trying to focus on the fact that she was just so broken and like the drunk, the traveling nomad. Because I mean, I guess if you've been drinking for that long, you would be slower, right?
Yeah, can confirm.
Just the way she talks and everything, it's like any emphasis she puts on anything just seems fake.
Well, she had a little bit of that Kathleen Turner gravel voice thing going on.
Well, back when I was important to the real voice series, then you know, I would do this instead. Now you're me.
I hope not vocally.
I feel like that's her voice probably. I don't know if she acted for that. I feel like
she looked grizzled and kind of beaten down because that
she
fit the character. Yeah.
Yeah,
kinda.
You're being nice. Bitch look rough.
Well, she was supposed to be rough.
She looked rough.
Fighting Terminators for 20 fucking years.
She looked a little haggard.
They killed her boy.
Like half a second. Yeah. Half a second while he's getting some beverages and hitting on a chick.
That was also the most anticlimactic fucking murder.
It was so boring. I was like,
okay.
This entire series has been about like fucking murder the shit out of John Connor. And you know how they end up actually doing it? Is that she was waiting on a Mai Tai and, oh fuck, my kid's dead.
And like, who was the body double for that Terminator though?
I think it was John Cena? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, because think about, like, I think that's where all the CG went for the money, because like that de-aging of Linda Hamilton looked really good.
Yeah, that is true.
In that scene, I focused on her face. And I know there was an article that came out a while ago about Edward Furlong's returning to Terminator. So was that him and they just de-aged his face?
I have no idea. So I noticed that it said Edward Furlong. So I was like, okay, so was it literally just the fact that they used his likeness and that counts as him doing movies again, because that was it. So I don't really know if they.
What I'm thinking is that he was in a lot more of it, and that's why it was so anticlimactic. They're like, fuck it, just shoot him. He's like, do you know who I am? I want my own trailer. They're like, fuck it, just shoot him right away. They had this whole sequence they were shooting of like, I don't know, motorcycles jumping off the back of like one of those tow trucks that's like lifted to catch a helicopter and all this crazy stuff. They're like, no, just fucking shoot him in the chest. Let's just get this over with. Move forward with the plot.
Never mind.
Oh, yeah. And every climactic scene, just, you know, I was more so waiting for the action. Like, how do you fall into a fucking dam and then you just get like, you're getting dragged away in a fucking Hummer by the undercurrent of this dam?
Survived falling down that dam really well.
Right?
It was very well intact.
And like, you're just perfectly calm in like, you know, a dam, and you know, it's fine. It's okay.
I mean,
there's no problems
here. Even though the Terminator is, you know, she was helping the augmented human, mm-hmm. there's a Grace. She was helping Grace get up a fucking mountain. All of a sudden they're up the fucking mountain. Yeah. The side of the dam. Remember? Like, it's just shows them, like, how are we going to get up there? Hey, we find a way. And then there they are. Okay. Okay, sweet.
I guess they did find a way.
I guess they found a way.
I'm really glad that off camera they figured out how to
have the energy and strength to get up there after, you know, basically they've been fucked up for the last 3 hours in the, you know, in their time for reference, you know.
That's, and we're about to go to break. The one thing I do want to say, though, is also there was definitely a change in the vulnerabilities of the Terminators or the augmented chick. Arnie and the Rev 7
9.
What, the Rev? Fuck you! I don't give a shit about this.
It's very important.
Yes.
So we have Grace, we have Arnie, and we have the Rev 9.
That they varied in how vulnerable they were. That after the first fight sequence in the movie, what's her face? Grace. Is like, I'm going to die unless I get like a water. Insulin cocktail water thing. I'm just got to steal a bunch of meds from a Mexican pharmacy. So ketamine probably.
Yeah.
And And like, we just got to mix it up and hope. And they're like, yep, we did it. And after one fight, but then 3/4 of the movie continues on and she's fine until when she's really needed. Mm. And then she's like, oh no, I'm going to die again. It's just
yeah.
a weird choice.
I don't remember if they, I think the next time they used it was at the border detainee center. The next time she got shots, I think.
Yeah. When they started trying to like pull, when they started realizing that she wasn't quite
yeah.
human because
yeah.
she had just yeah. had a bunch of metal parts on her insides.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They use that then.
Yeah. And then there's one other time when he's like, oh, you left this on the plane. How the fuck?
Yeah, that was at the
through all that bullshit. How did he manage to grab a goddamn syringe or whatever the fuck?
He was flying in slow motion and went, oh, there it is. And then casually reached out and grabbed the syringe.
And see, you know what's a bad one? Okay, it's a movie about a fucking AI Terminator. So, just, you know, the whole suspension of disbelief thing, when you can't do that, it's just bad. Yeah. When, like, yeah. you're looking at the things where it's like, really? Like, you're not even trying. You just got to try a little bit, you know?
And what we're going to try to do now is tell you about some events that we have coming up in the Richmond area with Geeks Under the Influence. We've got some cool stuff happening going into the end of the year. When we're coming back, we're going to talk about our sponsors a little bit, what we're drinking, and get into a drunken scene. So stick around. Geeks, we've got some events coming up here in Richmond, Virginia that you definitely want to come and check out for the month of November. November 15th at Strange Ways, we've got Pours and Pasties with our friends at Burlesque Right Meow. Then on the 16th at Gallery 5, there is a My Chemical Romance tribute burlesque show. I'm Not Okay, We Promise, a burlesque tribute to My Chemical Romance on the 16th at Gallery 5. On the 18th of November, we're back with trivia at Fallout. Also on the 25th of November, right before you run off to go spend Thanksgiving with your family, make sure you start your holidays right with trivia at Fallout on the 25th of November. Then over to Busky Cidery on the 29th of November for stand-up comedy with our buddy Carltron. The Carlton K is going to be hosting that on the 29th. And then back over to Gallery 5 on the 29th for a fundraiser for the RVA Burlesque Festival. We've got some other dates in December that I definitely want to get out here. On the 7th of December is the Creatures Grim Toy Run to raise money and toys for the Children's Hospital, and that's going to be at another round in Lakeside. And let us definitely not forget Punks for Presents. This is the 14th year that they're doing Punks for Presents. The dates are December 6th at Bandito's Burrito Lounge, Friday, December 6th. Saturday, December 7th, after you finish doing the toy run at another round with some live music and me as an MC. Then go on down to two venues, the Fuzzy Cactus, and then the venue right across the street, Boogaloo's Bar and Grill, for some good old Punks for Presents fun. Then on December 11th, head over to Sticky Rice to dine and donate. Friday, December 13th, Friday the 13th at Wonderland for some Punks for Presents action. Then on the 14th, Saturday the 14th at the Camel. And then finally, December 19th at the Camel for Gritty City Records for the Kids 5. Check out all this info at GYPodcast.com and follow our social media for updates. We'll see you there. And we're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things Terminator, specifically talking about Terminator Dark Fate, that we will be talking about the good Terminator movies here in the second half. But before we do that, we're going to talk about our sponsors a little bit, the ones that help us get a little bit of cash so we can afford storage fees, new equipment, booze, what have you, on the show. The first one, of course, is Amazon.com. The holidays are coming, and we're going to be having Cyber Monday before too long, and that is the time to make sure you shop through the link at gypodcast.com to Amazon. Just make sure you go through the link upper right-hand corner of our homepage. That way, anything you purchase for the holiday season, all your Christmas presents and stuff, we get credit for it, so you're spending the same amount. We're getting money so that we don't have to use our Christmas money on GUI stuff. We can actually use it on Christmas stuff. So if you want our friends and family to have a good Christmas, it is up to you. It is only up to you. It is your fault if our friends and family get terrible presents because you didn't shop through the link at GUIpodcast.com. Do you think the guilt thing's going to work?
You're an asshole.
Is that too much?
You're an asshole.
I got to pull that back a little bit, I think.
Yeah, rein that in, sir. Rein that in.
Our friends and family will love anything we give them, but they will love it that much more if we have a little bit of extra cash, and that would be thanks to you, our lovely and amazing listeners.
Fuck. Like, Jesus. Without a fucking soup line. Fuck.
If you don't shop Amazon.com through our link, I will be homeless. Yeah. I will be recording GY in a cardboard box.
Dude,
after the first of the year.
Whenever I listen to this episode on, if I was a listener, I would just find the comment section posts like, hey, man, sounds like your problem.
Yeah, right?
Fuck.
Anyway, Amazon.com has been helpful a lot with getting money for equipment and storage fees and stuff. So make sure you shop through the link. Just bookmark it. Once you go through the link, that way it will happen every time you shop through Amazon, and we deeply appreciate it. What we also appreciate is you sharing the joy of Geeks Under the Influence shows with your friends and family for the holidays by buying merchandise. That is the perfect time to force your podcast interests on your friends and family, is to give them Geeks Under the Influence and our related shows, network shows, merch, t-shirts or mugs or stickers, buttons, magnets. There's laptop cases, tote bags, all sorts of stuff that you can get to share the beauty that is Geeks Under the Influence. Not everything is even Geeks Under the Influence labeled. We've got stuff with our logo on it, but we've got just fun, weird stuff that we've put up. There's the Jay Baruchel Rules shirt that I know is Lowdown's favorite. He's going to get one for every member of his family for the holidays.
I mean, toilet paper.
For toilet paper. That's very expensive toilet paper.
It's washable. It's washable.
It is washable.
Well, you take a shit, don't, you know, you rinse it off and, you know, put in.
There's also there's the Dr. Manhattan Arrested Development mashup shirt that we have.
Oh yeah, what was it? Manhattan Development.
Manhattan Development Manhattan shirt Development is fantastic.
Fuck Michael Bay. Woo! Yeah.
The Fuck Michael Bay shirt is a absolute favorite for sure.
As it should be.
As it should be. Tell the world how much you hate Michael Bay by buying the Fuck Michael Bay t-shirt on our TeePublic site. Go to gypodcast.com/store, and there will be a link to our TeePublic page there. Also, we have koozies, hats, stickers, all available exclusively at GUI events. So come out to a trivia night, come out to a Booze Clues. We'll have that available. And use that as a stocking stuffer. You know, give your family and friends the gift of a koozie that says, hey, we're fucking drinking on it.
Yeah.
And yeah. And
because the holidays, who doesn't drink?
I mean, you kind of have to sometimes. Speaking of drinking, we have a little segment called What We're Drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
I love it so much. Every I've had that for years now, and I never get tired of that that intro there.
Smash.
Oh. The share tonight is a perfect pairing.
You're welcome.
For Terminator Dark Fate that Manda was nice enough to bring to us. What are we sipping on this evening?
So I chose the Devil's Backbone Schwartz beer. It is actually one of my favorites of their beers. I like Devil's Backbone in general. But this one's always been kind of my favorite. I'm a porter stout person, so I like that dark, rich flavor. But I kind of dig the Schwartz beer because since it's just a black lager, you get that flavor, but I don't feel full after having them, so I can just keep going.
Yeah, it's great. Got some. It's got a little bit of body to it, but it's not thick like a porter.
No,
stout.
It's a lager.
Nope.
Yeah,
it's a lager, but it's got that richer flavor.
5.1% low IBU, so it's very drinkable for being a heavier beer. This is a bonfire beer for sure.
Yes,
that's the roasted malts in it too. You get like a char on the back end of it, and I mean the name alone is very episodic.
What I do like is that it does have a little bit of, I wouldn't even say bitterness, but yeah, that the char kind of approach to it that gives it a little bit of that umami kind of, you know, there's some deeper notes in there besides just like that malt that you get with some of the heavier beers.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of dirtiness in there, you know, and it really gives it a little bit of balls for being only 5.1%. I mean, you can tell you're drinking a beer.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But on the same end, you can definitely session this, no problem.
And you're also drinking a dark beer.
And also, it's called Schwartz beer for the Arnold Schwarzenegger fronted series of movies.
Yeah.
So this is a good pairing to go with Terminator Dark Fate. Very well done.
You're welcome.
I did also want to give a shout out to my new favorite local winery. Speaking of local, Devil's Backbone is from the Nelson County area on the Brew Ridge Trail, Route 151 in Nelson County, which I and my girlfriend were recently just came back from over last weekend. And that's it. We've talked about it a number of times on the show, how much fun it is to go out there. We've gone as panelists, just a dude's weekend or panelist weekend. and we've gone with like significant others or whatever over the years, and it's always a blast. This is a new winery that I think opened in 2018 that I had not had the chance to check out up to this last visit, and got there with Amy right before sunset on Saturday night, and we did the tasting, and I was astounded that every single wine on the tasting list, I think it was seven wines, every single one was delicious, which doesn't happen normally. Even a rosé, which I normally am not a big rosé fan, was delightful. Everything really kind of shined. So I would definitely suggest, if you have the chance to go out to Septenary Winery, it's on 250 right nearby Pro Renata, the brewery out there. It's still right down the road from 151, so it's right in that same area. It's not much of a drive at all. The one that I was really blown away by was their, I believe it's their flagship, the Coleman, which is a red blend that they do. It's not a super heavy bodied, but it's on the heavier side for their list of wines. The blend is dependent on what year they have, but I was just floored by it. Big fruit flavors, rich, just the right amount of tannin where it has that bite to it, but it's not overplayed where it sucks all the moisture out of your body. You know, it's incredibly good, and it's a gorgeous winery. There's a reflecting pool that we were sitting across from while the sun was setting over the mountains, and it was this like picturesque, beautiful, like iconic moment.
Sounds serene.
It was incredible. So not only is the winery beautiful, but the wine is incredible. They were very nice. And I thoroughly suggest going and checking that out when you have a chance when you're in the area. Septenary Winery. Killer. Probably my favorite winery out there now.
Cool.
So
nice.
Yeah. And Lowdown, what are you sipping on this evening?
Oh, I'm drinking on some trash, just like this fucking movie. I'm drinking some Natter Days.
Which is, you probably needed a few of those after seeing Dark Fate, for sure.
Unfortunately, though, I had to work and get up at 4, so I had to go home and like just like calm myself down and go try to go to sleep.
You just had to take it in for a while. Just had to take it.
Taking in something that you want to vomit out is not ideal. Okay, like fucking movie. God damn it.
Speaking of vomiting out, I think that's what it's going to sound like for the next segment that we're doing here. Some people's favorite segment. It's one of my personal favorites. We're talking about making a drunken scene.
Making a drunken scene.
So we are not going to do a scene from Terminator Dark Fate because fuck it.
Because fuck it. I like it.
It's weird. It's been a while since we've had a movie that we've been talking about on here that we disliked to this degree. It's not the worst of the Terminator movies, but yeah, it definitely was disappointing.
I'm trying to think what movie we shit on this much. What was the last movie that we shit on this much?
It's been a while.
Right? Yeah.
It
has been.
Yeah, I feel like
it's been early... Early 2018 or like late 2017, honestly.
Yeah, it has been
a while.
We've been fortunate that a lot of the movies coming out we've been really impressed with. So.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
Thankfully. Yeah.
And I usually feel like if somebody's shitting on something, there's at least somebody in the panel who's like, it wasn't so bad because blah, blah. No, like all three of them are just like, fuck this movie.
Wait, when did Justice League come out?
Oh, no. Okay. That came out the spring last year. Okay. Yeah. Kyle, I think that's the one we got him to change his tune. No, that was Batman v Superman, where we had Smash
he
change his
tune.
Here.
He was out of state for
Justice League. But yeah. Batman v Superman, he ended up like backtracking on himself through that one.
So
yeah.
For this making a drunken scene, we decided to choose one of the actual good Terminator movies. My personal favorite, Terminator 2 Judgment Day from 1991.
Yeah.
And this is a scene where we've got the Terminator, Sarah Connor, and John Connor. So I'm going to be doing Terminator. I think, Mandy, you said you're going to do Sarah?
Yeah.
And that makes Lowdown as John Connor.
Whatever, man.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, solid. Better than what I'm about to do with this Terminator scene. So here we go, Terminator from 1991.
Oh, boy.
In 3 years, Cyberdyne will become the latest supplier of military computer systems.
Fuck.
All stealth bombers are upgraded with Cyberdyne computers, becoming fully unmanned.
It's Russian.
He's not from Russia.
It's just full Russian.
Let me live my truth.
Just bad.
Afterwards, they fly with the beefy. I can't. I'm just in Russian now. They fly with the. I lost my place. Hold on. Afterwards, they fly with the perfect operational record. The guy that funding bill is passed. The system goes online August 4th, 1997. Human decisions are removed from strategic defense.
Fucking A.
Skynet begins to learn that the geometric rate. I can't do this. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern time, like Eastern Block, August 29th. In a panic, they try to pull the plug.
That was something. That was something. God damn.
Skynet, it fights back.
Was it Sarah Shatner?
Yeah, Sarah
Shatner.
Yes.
Yes. It launches its missiles against its targets. Whoa, in Russia.
God damn it.
Like, why attack Russia, man? Aren't they our friends now?
Yes, they are your best friends. Oh, wait, no.
Putin. What? Oh.
Putin is a good man. Rides shirtless on horse.
Holy shit.
Because Skynet knows that the Russian counterattack will eliminate its enemies over here.
I blame watching Deadpool and Colossus's Russian accent on that. That and also I can't do accents at all.
Holy fuck.
I feel like your practice round was way different from how that turned out.
all that. What just happened there? That was good times. That was good times. Had by all.
That was difficult.
So on to, speaking of Terminator 2, the good Terminator movies. Ooh. I really want to focus on that now. The first Terminator movie was, as we kind of mentioned, a lot like Alien and Aliens.
Yeah. It was, I mean, directly kind of like that, where you had Alien come out and it was Alien was definitely a horror movie. Terminator, not so much a horror movie, but it was definitely
dark. It had elements, though.
It did have elements. Yeah. It was suspenseful. It was scary. Like that ending scene, to me, I remember, and still watching that, because the last time I watched the first Terminator was, it was sometime last year, and I'm like, that's a horrific scene. You have this, like, this machine that you had that's just built up the entire movie, that just is coming at you with these red fucking eyes, and it just won't stop. And that whole premise, right? Mm-hmm. It was definitely set up to be horror, like horrifying. And then, as with Aliens and Terminator 2, you've got, it's just balls out the action side of everything.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's a direct comparison. Like, if you're going to compare out first in a sequel, those two make the most sense to me.
Yeah. But
even with the balls out action of Terminator 2, the plot line is very nuanced in some regards. You really care about the characters. Mm-hmm. They pull in a engineer that's working for Cyberdyne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That tells them about the hand they found from the first movie. So it's tying them in properly. The movie's mm-hmm. together. You care about him and his family. He realizes what's at stake and believes them, which is like a huge thing, that he believes this insane story and decides to help them, then sacrifices himself to help them.
Right.
What makes it so nuanced, though, is the fact that they wrote it to the point where it makes sense that he believes them, because the way the first movie's unfolded, like, they found this, and they found this metal that hasn't been created yet and is locked in this vault that's kept in a fucking, cryogenic chamber.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, they know this is some legit shit, right? And they got the hand, they've got the arm, and they got the chip. And it's future. It's technology that doesn't exist now. So, yeah, when you set all that up, why the fuck wouldn't they believe, he believe them when they show up with this crazy story? It's like, oh, now that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, you also have the T-800 who actually essentially just rips his arm skin off to show him the same arm. So that tying in. But it's just nice that they just thought about a lot of stuff with those movies. And the fact that he was willing to, they're like, oh, yeah, just show him. So he's like, okay, cool. Yeah, here's my robot arm. I got one, too. So, like, it's...
And like the look on his face, like everything about that scene was like, oh, because he was like he started hyperventilating when he's like, oh, this is a fucking Terminator. Okay.
Speaking of the hyperventilating, I did love the actor. I forget the name of the character that he worked for Cyberdyne, and he had the little like dead man switch.
Oh, when he's dying.
And when he's dying, he's doing the like breathing, and then he stops. It was incredibly well done.
Yeah. Yes.
He nailed that shit super hard. Mm-hmm. That you felt like the pain he was feeling and how hard he was trying to hold on to give them time to escape. I mean, it was perfect.
Yep.
It was done great. It's one of the iconic scenes from that movie. And there are plenty of iconic scenes like that Mack truck jumping off the bridge into the LA like drainage systems.
Yeah, it was shit. Like fucking Schwarzenegger, like coming across the floor of the building and just going to town on a fucking helicopter.
Yes,
at a Gatling. That was badass, so man. Good. Oh, so good. And we've got the heartfelt thumbs up at the end.
Oh man. Which you know what? I don't care how fucking corny that was, because it was corny. It was super fucking corny.
It was. But he had taught him the things. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And you know what? That's still been redone in movies as like an homage to that scene. So many times.
Yeah.
And it's because, especially as a teenager, 91 is when that came out. So I didn't see it when it first came out because I was 10. So, yeah. But it was a few years later, not that much longer.
I did. I believe. Yeah. I had that on my birthday cake the follow. No, my birthday was then late summer. So I had my birthday cake that year.
Actually. I wasn't able to watch movies of that caliber at that age. So I was not allowed to. But it was a couple years later. I saw it for the first time. And I was at the right age where the thumbs up didn't come off as hackney. That was like,
Oh no, it would choke.
It was great.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great. Oh. I mean, I've been watching this movie since I was, oh gosh, probably 3, which says a lot about me as a human and how I've turned out. But, but I know, I mean, like even as like a small kid, like you could appreciate the bond that he had with the T-800 and how it was. And then like Sarah Connor's whole point on it is like, of all the things that could be a father like figure to him, it's this machine that I've had to deal with before that was here to kill me.
So it's
done so well.
Which is, I think, which is also something else they were trying to harp on in Dark Fate.
Yeah. But badly.
Anyway, and can we talk about like Sarah Connor's progression from permed up fucking, was it Rob's big boy waitress in Terminator to fucking that whole spiel she gives on that recorded clip that they actually show in the beginning of Dark Fate.
Yeah, which
she's
actually
like, I was there. And she's like, loses her fucking shit. And she's just like, pulls her bed up and fucks sleeping on her mattress and starts murking out one arm pull ups. You're like, God damn, man.
Yeah.
Like, hardcore, man.
You took a turn. Yeah.
Well, when you see like little, you know, children just, you know, disintegrate in front of you, that might change your views on things, you know.
Just
might
a wee little bit. Yeah.
A little bit.
An effect.
Yeah. That scene was very pointy, the dream she had. Like, I remember as a kid seeing that, and that's very shaky. Mm-hmm. Like just it stirs something.
Oh yeah,
the way they to show the playground and all that.
Yeah. The playground, that was such a good choice.
Yeah, it was, and I liked that they kind of slow released it. Like you get bits and pieces of it until like by the end of the movie, you've seen the whole thing that she's seeing over and over again, and so it's like it just slow releases you into this reality, and you realize that it's haunting her every night to see it over and over again like that, and you don't really get to see all of it until it all comes together and you see just how bad it is in her head. So
yeah,
you can see how she's kind of. Rough.
Well, you get the fact that here she is knowing that she is the way to prevent Judgment Day from happening, but she doesn't have all the pieces of the puzzle on how she's supposed to do that.
Right.
And also she knows that her son is deeply important and she doesn't have access to him.
I mean, I guess he was.
Yeah, he's out there.
Yeah, I mean, apparently not.
Apparently not. Yeah. Like...
I mean, he's out there somewhere. I mean,
stealing money from ATMs and riding a really shitty motorcycle.
Easy money.
Hey, that shitty dirt bike scene was the first time I ever heard Guns N' Roses.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I was like, what, 6 when this, 7 when this movie came out? Yeah. So.
I did appreciate in Salvation that they brought that same song back.
Right.
When he took over the Terminator, the bike. Yeah,
that was pretty rad. Yeah. Just like, did you notice the song when he lands in the people's shed?
Yeah.
It's the Dwight Yoakam song.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same song that's playing in the bar in T2 when he gets his mm-hmm. when he gets his clothes.
Yep.
Oh.
Hillbilly music. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the same song.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was a cool little. I was like, yeah. Okay. Okay. That was pretty cool.
I like those little nods for sure. But when you just remake the movie, it's a little bit more.
Yeah. The only thing that made T2 even better was when he gets his clothes, he gets on the bike, he got some George Thorogood playing. I'm like, all right, motherfucker. Yes. Yeah. Mad to the bone, baby. Yes.
Also, we'll talk about like the CGI from 1991 holds up better than CGI from the movie that just came out because they did a lot of like practicals CGI combo stuff, which always, I mean, that's been known as the way to do it where it holds up better.
I feel like it's 101 at this point.
Yeah.
Like literally cinematography 101. If we can do it, you know, impractical, then we fucking do it.
Right.
Like,
And what I'm thinking maybe is that because of the budget of Deadpool, which is where Tim Miller comes from, you know, or where he got his really big, you know, where he got known as a director was Deadpool, is that they didn't have the budget to have a lot of practical effect stuff. So they had a lot of CGI. There was, I mean, a lot of that movie is CGI, but that movie is cartoonish in nature. So a lot of the CGI stuff is kind of forgivable.
Yeah, it kind of translates well to the whole idea of the, it feels better.
It feels better than it does in Dark Fate, where I think he's just a director that relies on CGI for a lot of his stuff. And there's some stuff that you just need to have practical effects as part of it.
So was that scene with the bulldozer supposed to be comparable to the Mack truck scene?
Yeah, I think so. It felt like it was definitely trying to do that.
So I think what they nailed better with the T2 scene was the fact that the Mack truck had trouble keeping up with a dirt bike, motorcycle at that point, which would technically go faster.
Yeah.
How the fuck is a bulldozer keeping up with a goddamn
first
truck?
First thing I thought of.
Motherfucker.
You know that Mack truck like tops out at like 30 miles an hour. That thing is not meant to fucking drag race.
How is it? It's just like booking. I'm like, there's no way in hell, man. Like, there's no way it's keeping up.
And that's one of those big bulldozers too. That's one of those like big excavation site bulldozers. That's not like a building an apartment building bulldozer.
Yeah, it's a full on. I got the dumper in the back, I got the blade in the front, I'm going.
Yeah.
Like all that added weight and it's just trucking it. Like fuck you. That is not how that's gonna work. Yeah. So that's one of the things.
And that was the other thing. Like if you think about T2, remember when they ended up picking up that guy's like the random like construction guy's truck and the truck was chasing him down with all the liquid nitrogen in it and he were trying to go faster and he's like, I've reached this max vehicle for the, like this is as fast as it can go. This is max speed. They don't it's like they could have played with that. They could have done anything. Like, I mean, it was just so bad.
You know one thing that wouldn't have pissed me off is if they actually played with some way to freeze it. Like I would have been like, oh, at least you're acknowledging what you're doing at this point.
Yeah.
Like because they clearly was raping T2 the entire movie in Dark Fate.
Really
at least
was.
If they made it that obvious, it's kind of almost like tongue in cheek. Like yeah, okay, we know what we're doing, fuckers. Like
yeah,
here
we
you go.
Freeze this guy.
Yeah, we gotta freeze him. Fuck it, whatever. Totally. But no, we didn't get that either. God damn it.
Also, the chasing a vehicle with a really big vehicle, like they did it in T2. They did it in Terminator 3. Wasn't it a crane or something that they
it
were
was
using?
A crane.
It was a crane truck. Yeah.
They did in the first one too, actually. Remember, he's chasing him on a track trailer.
Yeah.
They make the homemade dynamite and throw it in the tailpipe kind of thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's been done to fucking death. And it's not one of those things that you are going to get mad if it's not in the movie, that it's like, you have to do that.
Nope.
Fucking leave it alone. Like, do something else.
I think that was part of it. The whole thing with this movie that got me is they were trying so desperately to pull in all the same fans for all the same reasons and all the things that you loved about T2, they tried to immediately duplicate it, but they just did it poorly.
Yeah.
Like it just, like we said before, you can't even care about the characters that much. Like you just don't care.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the area geographical area that it happened in is T2. Like T2, yes, it took place in right outside of Los Angeles and for the first like 45 minutes, and then the rest of the huge chunk of the movie in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So they were traveling through New Mexico,
I
believe. So you in the middle of this movie, you have that, you know, this land, this wide open landscape of just desert, kind of as the backdrop until they get to Laredo.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just everything felt the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm surprised it wasn't a joke about the keys and the fucking visor,
right?
Yeah. You know, come on, man.
Also, like, and I know we're going right back to Dark Fate, but fuck it. We didn't discuss on Mike about how he weighs, like, they mentioned 400 pounds, but definitely that's a low ball figure, right?
Yeah.
And that he apparently doesn't have a sexual relationship with his wife, that he, you know, met her when she was in a bad spot and like helped take care of her or something like that. And he's learned how to be human by being in this relationship or something. But there is no way after that many years with a Terminator that you're not going to know that there's something up. Like the number of, like we were talking about bathroom use, where it's like you go in at 8:03 every time in the morning and you're there for 6 minutes and 23 seconds and you use exactly 2 pieces of toilet paper that you just crumple up and throw in the toilet. And you also crush toilets sometimes.
Yeah. I was saying, he just walks in and just stands there. He just doesn't sit on the toilet so that way he doesn't break the shit. Right? He just
like just bringing the kid along to help with a decorating job. Because he's a interior decorator.
He serves butter, but it's drapes.
Yes, but it's drapes. He's an interior decorator. And then, you know, dad gets in the car and the thing just sits real low all of a sudden. You would start to notice some things like that. That like the tiles in the kitchen crack when he walks on them. You know, something.
Which, I mean, speaking of the car sitting low, which would have been direct tie into a scene from T2. When he gets in the car, it's oh, did anyone else think, by the way, that fucking station wagon was supposed to be a throwback to the goddamn station wagon in T2?
Yeah.
Did you get that from that? That model? With that,
I hadn't thought about
that
it.
That bullshit brown wood paneling on the side?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are just killing me with all this nonsense.
But yeah, there's no way that he can just pretend to be a dude for like 20 years and it's fine.
And that was my thing. I was like, okay, so they even mentioned in the other movies before how, like, once his purpose is served, he doesn't really have a purpose because Skynet gives him a mission. That's all he does. But I'm not really sure that his immediate response would be to just decide to be a people about it. Like, I don't... and the whole point...
John Connor has been terminated.
See, that's better than when I was doing
I don't know what the fuck you were doing.
That's still pretty Russian.
Like John Connor has been terminated. Time to get a woman.
Like, that's the next move.
Like, you don't just decide to be a people who, like, makes... And in the second movie, the whole way that they were able to kind of override his inabilities to be more human was because they removed... or broke a part of his system. They turned him off. They pulled out the chip. They did whatever they're going to do. If he was just sent back randomly and he was supposed to just kill him, which he did it very easily, but just killed him, just wiped him out super easily. To do that, nobody had ever actually pulled that out and reprogrammed him. So there's no reason really that would have happened.
All the humanity in this unit of the T-800 was just stolen from what we saw in previous movies. Correct. It's not the same unit. It didn't earn it, honestly. It would just piggybacked on our feelings about that character from previous movies.
Mm-hmm. For John.
Oh my god. They tried so hard for that to be like a heartfelt statement.
To be the thumbs up. That was supposed to be the thumbs up, dude.
It was so not.
It wasn't for John.
Okay, well.
Well, he didn't matter.
You mean the guy you killed?
Yeah, you mean the guy I killed.
The child that you murdered on the beach. Your mom was trying to get some dick.
I realized what I had taken from you. Oh, god damn it. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. So all right.
Ultimately, we are at the tail end anyway. So Terminator Dark Fate, out of our ABV scale of awesomeness by volume, out of 10, what would you rate Terminator Dark Fate?
Give it a 3.5. I'll give it a solid 3.5, 4. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think like a 4 is fair. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but that's because my bar was pretty much on the ground.
That's
like,
true.
It was very low set. So I'll give it a 4.
I'm sitting right around 4 as well. So I think we're all kind of in agreement that it's not great. I've seen worse Terminator movies.
It's like, not the worst.
Like Genesis is like a 2.
Yeah. 1 or 2.
I like that we like just evaded talking about that as like that. It did. That's I think maybe the second time Genesis has come up. It just doesn't. I'm good with it though.
Yeah.
And like a decent cast and everything. It's just the plot was fucking stupid.
Yep.
The worst.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Fucking terrible.
Yep.
So I would say if you have listened to this and with interest on whether or not you should see Dark Fate, if you're morbidly curious, go and check it out. I'd say this is definitely something that you don't need to be in a rush to see. Wait till it comes out on like Redbox or Amazon or something and try it then if you really are interested. I don't think it's going to be very soon before we see another Terminator movie. This might take the wind out of the sails a little bit. Wow. Even though apparently the scores are good, the going to the theaters to see it is not.
Nope.
They are not doing very well on the box office. So that's definitely going to delay any future Terminator movies, which you know what? Maybe they need to take a time out. Put Terminator in a corner and let it think about what it's done. And hopefully it'll come out with some realizations. And if we do get another Terminator movie, maybe they'll be mindful about how to approach it and maybe just not rehash shit. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know what? Hangover 2 wasn't good because it was basically the same thing as Hangover 1.
And then they made a third one. Mm-hmm. So they didn't learn.
Yeah, they did not learn. So
that's okay. People didn't either. That's how we got our Rev 9.
Mm.
People didn't learn.
Yeah.
They didn't learn.
They didn't learn.
Yeah.
So hopefully you learned a few things from us on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Definitely find us at gypodcast.com for episodes from this show and episodes from all 8 other shows on the network. We are working hard to make sure we can give you the best quality shows out of Richmond, Virginia, and we appreciate you guys coming to our trivia nights, our live podcast, our special events we do around town. So follow all that info on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. And Lowdown, you've got a bunch of stuff. You've been coming out like regular hard with From the Mouths of Madness.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to be consistent. I want everyone to be able to depend on the podcast.
Absolutely.
To come out.
Absolutely.
You know?
Consistent as fuck.
Just like we do with Geeks Under the Influence.
Yeah.
And every other show that comes out, that other showrunners, well, that you run.
No, I will say Beautiful Disasters has been super on point.
They've been on point.
Yeah.
Geek Father's always been on point. Good. So no, it's kind of like a code of ethics within Geeks Under the Influence. Is like we want the content to be consistent.
Yep.
So there's no wanting.
And there'll be hiccups here and there. As we still have a life outside of this, so things do happen from time to time. Yeah.
Oh.
Does happen.
Yeah.
So this episode, the day this episode comes out, the most recent From the Mouths of Madness will have dropped already, and it's going to be a review on Dr. Sleep. So if you do you want to see that movie, go back and look for From the Mouths of Madness, and it'll be Dr. Sleep.
Sweet.
There you go.
Yep. Hell yeah.
That sweet, sweet steam is the title of the episode.
Nice.
I already know.
Excellent.
So
we got all that and more at GUIpodcast.com. Check out a couple of the shows you haven't checked out yet. We just finished a Booze Clues live recording. That'll come out around the 20th of this month. And we always have a weekly mini show called Ice Cold Case Files, where I talk for about 10 minutes about drunken stories from history. So that's always fun.
And they're ridiculous.
They're utterly fucking ridiculous. They're so fun.
So, and I'm excited to hear this new Booze Clues too.
Oh, it was so much fun. Everybody was firing on all cylinders this last live show. So I'm very happy to get that out. So check that out and more at gypodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Mike the Hobbit, and join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
We'll be back.
Oh, fuck you.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Swallow your soul. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take, our play begins to spread. You can fight all you want, cause you don't to resist. We're here to take the world and rule with an iron fist. So join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.